Good morning. Forget I have to knock the volume down a level since I have this thing on. Awesome morning this morning, as always. Great to be here. If you can't find the beauty in the works around you this time of year, if you can't see God's hand working, This is the awesome time of year, in my opinion. Don't get me wrong, I can get up on a snowy, cold winter morning, and I can find God's work. But you got to look a little harder, in my opinion. I'm not a big winter person. I used to be a winter person, not anymore. And some of that's probably age as well, you know, that you become a little bit more mellow, you know, that kind of thing. But, man, late spring, early summer, I had a couple things like yesterday morning. So I get up, I get my coffee, I got my morning routine. I'm a creature of habit. I'm very, whatever you want to call it, and depends if you ask my wife what she calls it, but so I get my coffee, and normally I would go to the computer, get caught up on the news from the prior day or the evening, sports. Again, I got my regimen. I literally go in the same order every morning, and yesterday morning, I get my coffee, and I just happen to glance out the back door, porch area, and I see these two, I call them, they're kind of in the teenager stage now. Like, you look around, all these animals, like rabbits, squirrels, whatever. Two teenage chipmunks playing. I'll bet you I stood there with my coffee and watched those chipmunks for 10 minutes and basically bypassed computer time, which is my wife tells me I should do anyway because it's all bad news, and then I start off my day annoyed at the world. And so, anyway, that being said, this is an awesome time of year to be able to just go out and watch and see. And it's not just about, you know, if you've got the Spirit in you and you've received Christ in your life, I don't think. I mean, again, some of it with me is age as well, but, and I'm not saying it happens every time either. I still have my moments. I think most of us will admit we do. But I'm driving to work, and this is about last week one day, and it's a pretty nice mellow drive. You know, it's 10 miles, some nice, decent scenery. I can change my route. I'm going down the road, and all of a sudden, I see these geese start to come. About 10, 12 geese start to come across the road, and they're just taking their good old time. I'm like, well, I could speed up, probably get by them. I'm like, now, you know what? So I nice slow roll, get real close to them. I put it in park. I put my flashers on just because of the guy that might not be paying attention behind me that's in a big hurry to get to work. And I just sat there, got my phone out, snapped a few pictures, watched them walk across the street, and thought, how cool is that? That's a nice drive to work, right? When you get to see something like that on your way to work. But I will admit, probably 10 years ago when I looked at the guy across from me, and you could just almost see him tapping his hand on the steering wheel. Like, I'm going to be 30 seconds late for work. Come on, I'm going to be 30 seconds late, right? Because if you've ever done it and you've ever looked at the math on that, you catch an extra light or two, you're really only getting there a minute later. It's more of an annoyance. I learned years ago that one of the easiest ways to take stress out of my life was to leave a few minutes early for work. So then when that unthinkable happened, there was an accident on the way to work. There was a couple extra red lights. If you haven't already figured out that one little trick to remove a little bit of stress from your life, give it a try. Leave a little bit early. So today I want to talk a little bit about, as you can see from the slide, we're going to be talking a little bit about the journey, about life. We're going to be talking about some of the wisdom and knowledge that is useful in that journey. If you don't know what I do, I work in the motorcycle world. We've taken that saying, and we've tweaked it a little bit. I think they had the original. I think we stole it and just changed it a little bit and said, it's not about the destination, it's about the ride. But I struggled with it a little bit as I thought about in our Christian lives, because ultimately it is about the destination, right? It's the end result. You know, on a motorcycle, as in a car, when I take my car or my truck to work, I see things completely different than when I'm on my motorcycle. If I'm fortunate enough, and again, that's a tricky thing this time of year, if they've not recently just spread manure, even the smells are better. That's a double-edged sword sometimes on a motorcycle, trust me. 3 fresh skunk roadkills on the way to work the other day on the motorcycle. Whew. You smell it a lot more when you're on the bike, trust me. But that being said, as a motorcyclist, as opposed to the driver of a car, I see things differently. Maybe it's just because I'm sitting up higher. Maybe it's because I have less obstructions around me. I've never been a full-face helmet type of guy because I like to see what's going on around me, so I do have a big panoramic view, and I can kind of see what's going on around me. And I thought about that as a Christian versus a non-Christian. You know, what do I see differently as a Christian than I do as a non-Christian? You know, as a non-Christian, it's about just getting to work without any headaches, any annoyances. How can I get through the day? As simple as that sometimes, I think, if you don't have Christ in your life. As a Christian, sometimes, how do we view things differently? It's about enjoying that first few minutes of the morning and enjoying your day. It's about being in contact with others. How can I affect their lives? I think as Christians, that's one of the things. We take on a responsibility, and it is our duty to share what our life is about as a Christian. So when we come in contact with people as a Christian versus a non-Christian, our interaction should be different. Our whole day should be different, relatively speaking, because of the fact that we are Christians. You know, when I'm on the bike, it's not where I'm necessarily going. It's about getting there. It's about enjoying the ride. It's about the scenery I'm going to see. Typically, whenever we went on longer rides, or me and some of my friends would, the guys would get away for the weekend, long weekend, it wasn't about when we got there. We usually didn't even make hotel reservations. Wherever we ended up is where we ended up. We'd figure out a place to stay. I've had conversations with other members of the congregation about hotel accommodations and what suffices and what our standards are and what we look for. I'm usually pretty easy to get along with. Clean bedding, cockroaches to a minimum. Been in those rooms already as well. Sometimes when you're traveling and you don't make reservations, you pay the price as well. But again, you know, the other morning I stood outside and I'm looking, and I love my backyard right now this time of year, but so I got to explain this. So we got the fence and I got my bird feeders out, and the blackbirds, I have this squirrel-proof feeder. It's got a ring around it. And when a squirrel steps on a ring, it goes down and it closes it off so the squirrel can't eat. Only the birds, because they don't weigh enough to close it up, can eat. The blackbirds apparently are heavy enough, though, that they will close the slides. I can adjust it, but they're fairly large birds. So, and it took a little bit of time. And if you ever watch squirrels, I don't know if it's just a learned behavior, but they seem to be very intelligent because of just how they figure out how to eat. I mean, my goodness, they'll figure out anything. But so these blackbird would go down to the fence, and the fence is only a little bit distance from the bird feeder, would lean over, 1 foot on the thing that's holding the bird feeder, and get in there and get food. And I'm assuming it was the mother would come back to the fence because there was a smaller one and feed the small bird. And it would take turns. There were multiple adult birds. One would go, and then the next one would go down the line on the fence and wait its turn. Oh, man. Anyway, long story short, what I thought of in that moment was the bread of life. Just that's what it made me think about. You know, when I saw that about, you know, Christ is our mama bird, you know? He's the one that figures out how to feed us if we are accepting of that. So, anyway, that was my opening spiel. Just, I got on a roll. I just, you know, I was this nature right now, this time of year, and the whole conversation today is about the journey and knowledge and getting there. That brings me to this morning's main scripture, Romans 15:4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. This talks about, we basically were given the instructions that we're going to need. And we're going to need them definitely in this journey, in this little trip that we're taking through life, as we're going to talk about here shortly. If you'd bow with me, please. Father, I just take a moment to ask for you to be present with me this morning as I share some thoughts and look to some of your scripture and some of your instructions and some of the words that you gave us to basically get us through this journey, Father. I ask that you might help me to say something that is purposeful and is meaningful and is serves your purpose, Father, as it was intended. Amen. So, last night, I had a memorial service where I work. Hard to picture, but being a motorcycle dealership, one of my employees, my co-workers, husband passed unexpectedly about a month ago at a fairly young age. His passion in life was motorcycles. It's what he loved. Had 16, I got a motorcycle I'm riding. The story that my one part-time employee, who I think I've shared before, is a full-time pastor. It's a real profession, he's a pastor. He loves motorcycles, though. That's one of his passions, other than God and teaching the Word. Was doing the memorial service. And one of the things he spoke to about this gentleman who passed was his love of motorcycling and his somewhat of a lack of a church life. He was never a real big church person. He had some of those tragedies early in his life, a wife of 2 months being taken unexpectedly with a brain aneurysm, things like that, the kind of things that, but he had a lot of character. I liked the man. And we never had any deep conversations about where he was at, but my other, Paul, the person, the pastor, was able to spend some time with him in the hospital when he knew that it was coming to an end. And that was one of the things Paul shared, was the fact that he thinks he always had it in him. He just didn't like to talk about it, and I like to think that hopefully that was the case, because he was a good guy, and he did have a lot of character, and I really hope that the time they spent together those last few days took him to where he needed to be. But one of the things that when I was talking to Paul before the memorial service was, I said, when you preach, you've been doing it for a long time. He's been a pastor for many years. I said, do you ever worry about not saying the right thing or saying the wrong thing when you're up there? And he said, early on, he said, I used to at times, he said, but I really don't too much anymore, because it's not what I'm saying, it's what the scripture says. So, don't necessarily always listen to anything I say, listen to the scripture. So, this morning, talking about that whole theme of a journey and a destination, and looking at the main scripture and talking about knowledge, I think that it was all part of the plan, part of God sending Christ here so that he could share some stories, share some parables, do some good works, do some miracles, the whole nine yards. And again, this speaks to that scripture and how we can use it. Proverbs 2, 1 through 5. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver and search for it as a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So 1 through 5, and we're going to go through Proverbs 2 all the way to the end here, but really it talks about starting out looking for and finding knowledge. That was my takeaway there. And the key, one of the main things I thought about when I read that one was about putting the emphasis that you would put on looking for a lost treasure or silver or gold. That kind of emphasis, that's how important and how valuable knowledge is in making it through this little journey. Proverbs 2, 6 through 8. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the ways of his saints. Quick takeaway on 6 through 8. He gives us his wisdom, and if we accept that and take that, he will watch over our way. that trip that we had said we want to take with him, he's going to watch over us if we accept that knowledge that he gives us. 9 through 11. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. So righteousness, justice, and fairness. My takeaway in the way I interpreted that and read that was those are the good paths. Those are the paths that we should be taking. And if you take that wisdom and you let it enter your heart and your soul, I think those ultimately are the paths that you have to take as a Christian. I think you have to be fair with the people you deal with, righteous and just. 12 through 15. Wisdom will protect you from evil schemes and from those liars who turn from doing good to live in the darkness. Most of all, they enjoy being mean and deceitful. They are dishonest themselves, and all they do is crooked. I talked about this before, that you're going to run into those people, the people that tend to want to make your life miserable, or at least that's the way you perceive it, sometimes incorrectly maybe, but they're out there. And this scripture speaks to that. You're going to run into them on that path, on that journey. But if you accept, again, those teachings, that wisdom and that knowledge that God gives us through scripture, you can help to not only deal with them, but to avoid those people. 16 through 19. Wisdom will save you from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. Pretty hardcore. I didn't take this scripture because of the fact that it was talking specifically about adultery. Obviously, that could be broken out in a whole separate message. But I think the important part, at least for me, was the fact that it was telling you about the severity of some of the things you're going to run into in life, this being one of them. And that wisdom, again, will help save you from those things, keep you from going down that wrong path. Because, as it says here, once you go down that path, you may not be able to attain the path of life. 20 through 22. Follow the steps of good men and stay on the paths of the righteous. For only the upright will live in the land, and those who have integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be removed from the land, and the treacherous will be destroyed. I think when I read this, it really made me realize that as we look at the structure of our church and we look at needing help sometimes in that journey through life as a Christian, picking out some people to follow can help make it easier. It may not always be within the context of the church, but be wary of the people you follow. Make sure that they have that integrity that you're looking for in a person. Otherwise, they might lead you down that wrong path. But I think it's important to look to others for help. I think it's important to follow the lead of others, because how do we get to where we are as Christians? We don't just all of a sudden, boom, you know, somewhere along the line, somebody, parent, friend, somebody said something to you that clicked. So whether it was from the time you're five, yep, I'm a Christian, I got this, and boom, you never miss a beat, never skip a beat, or you got off the path many times and kept on getting back on there, there was still somebody that probably helped you. And I think that's what this really speaks to. Not to get on a soapbox, but I hope I don't offend anybody, but there was a big news story, I think it was within the past week, and again, this is that whole reading the news thing. Some of you may have heard of Kenneth Copeland. Extremely, what I would call, been around for quite a while. You get stuck on a Sunday morning and you're looking for maybe some scripture, something in your life, and you're not going to be able to make it to church. You'll turn on the TV and you'll probably come across Kenneth Copeland. To be honest with you, and shame on me, I couldn't even tell you what church he denomination, I don't know. But there was a big news story about how important that his three private jets that he just had redone were to his teaching the word. Be careful who you follow sometimes. I sometimes wonder if Kenneth Copeland were approached by Christ and asked to give up all his worldly possessions, what he would say. Don't get me wrong, I would struggle with that. I don't have what he has. But I also don't profess to be who he does. So be careful sometimes when you're looking for somebody to help you on that path, who you follow. You know, in closing, talking about that path, talking about that journey, talking about the fact of how important it is to have wisdom and knowledge to get through it. And that's really what I was hopefully trying to pass along this morning, the point I was trying to make. I've learned over the last couple of years since I've been privileged to be up here off and on how much I left Scripture out of my life and how important it is to every once in a while get back to basics and touch base and do a little bit of digging and do a little bit of reading every once in a while. I'm still not the guy that is where I need to be by any stretch of the imagination, but it definitely does help when you get in there and do a little bit of reading. So in closing, I thought this was fitting when we're talking about that path. Isaiah 35, 8 through 10. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with their songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighting shall flee away. This is obviously talking about that final path, that final highway. It's talking about bringing everyone else back along to make that final journey on that path. Ultimately, it is about the destination, not just the journey, but we've got to make the proper journey to get to that final highway, to get to where we need to get to. But when we get to that one, we don't have to deal with all the headaches and heartaches, and there's going to be a lot of joy, and it's going to be an easy walk the rest of the way. If anybody has any needs at the church this morning, feel free to come forward and share those with us. We need to pray for you, anything you need to share. If you need to be baptized, if you haven't been baptized, it's always behind me. Hope everybody has a good week, and hopefully I shared something that helps.